Because I have a grave responsibility as I stand and hold this microphone week after week. That one day I will have to give an account for the words that I say, for what I preach, and for what I don't preach. And there is a world out there, and there is a society out there. There is prevailing thoughts out there that are trying to continually erode what the Bible says and the truths of the Word of God. And that it is just okay to just believe anything you want, and just as long as you're a good person. But if you're honest with yourself and you're honest with the Word of God and you really read it, you will see that nowhere in the Bible is that the case. And so today, as I roll through and I continue in this series on the new birth, going to talk about the gift of the Holy Ghost. And I will be honest, I could go, I was struggling as far as which direction to take it, because I mean there's a lot of different areas I could walk down and go through, and I may just spend some time here for a little while and talk some different aspects of the Holy Ghost and what it is and what it means and what it gives us and how to receive it and all of those things that go into it. Today I'm going to hopefully be able to get through this. And sometimes it's funny, my title, it's a very simple title, it's one that we're all familiar with. And ye shall receive power. If there's something I need today, it's the power of an almighty God. When your body feels weary, when your mind isn't working, when things just don't seem to be lining up for you, you know what you need? I need the power of an almighty God to come through again. I need to drink from that well of living water that springs up into everlasting life. I just need to take a fresh drink from that. If you will turn with me to Luke chapter 11 and verse 13. If ye being evil. Is there anyone evil in this place here today? It doesn't mean evil like as in what we think of the word evil in our English dictionary. It just means less than God. We're not perfect. We make mistakes. We who don't always do the right thing. Do I have a father in here that has ever made a mistake and ever done something wrong with your children and maybe not treated them exactly right? This is what this is dealing with here. If ye being evil know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask Him? I just want to talk for just a little while here this morning on the title, and ye shall receive power. Jesus, God, I need your help here today. Lord, God, I feel weary in body and weary in mind. And Lord, I know that in front of me is people, Lord, who know your word, and God, they need fed here today. And God, I ask that you would help me, Lord, to teach your word, to teach it in the right way. Lord, I do not ever want to have the wrong spirit. Lord, to have the wrong attitude when approaching your things, when approaching what your word is. Lord, I go to it, Lord, with humility. And Lord, I go to it, Lord, humbly before you. Lord, understanding the grave responsibility that is before me. And I ask, Lord, for your help right now. I ask, Jesus, for your strength to come in. Lord, I pray that your power would rest upon me here today. Lord, as I preach your word, as I teach your word, God, let it go forth with clarity, with boldness, and with power. Lord, let it, Lord, touch someone's heart and life today. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. And ye shall receive power. My goal today is to help us understand the Bible better. Because unfortunately out there many times, and much of what is out there are what is called, the Bible refers to it as winds of doctrines that take pieces and parts of scriptures and form doctrines that go contrary to what Jesus taught and to what his apostles taught. The Bible says that Jesus is the chief cornerstone, and it is built upon the apostles' doctrine. And we understand that it is important to go back to that foundation, that everything we build upon should be built upon that foundation. Amen. And I've said this many times, and I want to say this right, but I'm not really concerned with what religion a person says they are. I'm not really concerned with the title that they say they are. I'm really, really concerned about what the Bible says. I'm really concerned. It doesn't matter what religion you call it. It doesn't matter what title you throw on it. But what is the word of God that you believe? What is the word that you stand for? What is the word that you preach? You can call it whatever you want. You can label it whatever you want. But the word of God is true regardless of what label we throw on it. Amen. Regardless of what we say. Look, I'm not ashamed to be called an apostolic. I've said that before. I'm not ashamed. I'm not at all shy to call myself an apostolic. I'm not at all shy to call myself Pentecostal because I understand what they stand for. But I wouldn't say I'm apostolic, and I wouldn't say I'm Pentecostal if it was contrary to the Word of God. Because first and foremost, the Word of God is our foundation. It's our bedrock. It's our filter. And everything we say and everything we do has to line up with the Word of God. Many times what is taught in these winds of doctrines come from the writings of Paul, believe it or not. They'll take a piece of what Paul says and they'll say, well, this is really what you're supposed to do. And because the reason they do this is because Paul doesn't always get into the details. Paul in his writings doesn't always get into the details of what he's saying. He says a lot of things in passing. He don't say what's necessary. He only gives a recap, because you have to understand what Paul is doing. Paul is not dealing with the salvation issue. That's already been dealt with. What Paul is dealing with is church issues. What Paul is dealing with is life issues. What Paul is dealing with is people who are starting to slip from the faith, who are starting to change some things, and he is working on some other issues. Let me give you an example of this.
Hebrews 6:1, look what he says. He says, therefore leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ. You mean Paul's anti-Christ? He's leaving the principles of Christ. Look what he says. Let us go unto perfection. See, in our word, we think of perfection as you don't make mistakes. This word perfection is completeness. He says, hold on a second. Let's leave the doctrine of Christ and let's go on unto a full completeness. He says, I want to move on to something. Watch. This is where it goes. He says, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and faith towards God. What he's saying is, I'm not going to talk about this again because it's already been dealt with. Amen. I'm not going to rehash this over again because it's already been taught. You already have that foundation. You already have that truth. And so I'm going to leave that for a moment. I'm going to step away from that a moment, and I'm going to move towards some other things. Watch, he says this, of the doctrine of baptism. You mean there's no baptism anymore? Does Paul preach that there's no baptism anymore? And laying on of hands? You mean you don't lay hands on people anymore? And of the resurrection of dead? Does Paul not believe in the resurrection of the dead? What about eternal judgment? Watch what he says in verse 3. And this will we do if God permit. In other words, he says, I'm not walking away from this for now. I'm not leaving the doctrine. We'll always do these things if the Lord tarries. Amen. But for right now, my teachings are not dealing with this subject. You have to understand that was Paul's teaching. Paul was going beyond the new birth message. That had already been established. That foundation had already been laid. He himself said, we build upon the foundation, Jesus Christ being the chief cornerstone. The prophets and the apostles are part of that foundation. I don't have to lay that again. My job's to build upon that. See, Paul is not trying to deal with the aspects of repentance, baptism in Jesus' name, and the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Paul says, for a while, I'm going to deal with some other issues. So to get a better understanding of the Bible, you need to... I put this in my notes. Probably shouldn't have. So to get a better understanding of the Bible that you read every day, to get a better understanding of that word of God he gave you that you read every day. By the way, that's a plug of the bread reader thing. If you need to make sure you're marking your names off still. We're getting ready to be planning another dinner. It's not trail off. This is the time in the summer when we get busy. I'm on pastor for a minute. When we get tired, when we got a whole lot going on, we're running all over the place, let's not neglect the things of the Spirit. Let's not neglect the things of God, the disciplines that we need to have. This is not the time to fall off. This is not the time to fall away. This is not the time to get comfortable. This is the time to stay grounded and stay into the Word of God. That was free. Let me give you, though, a quick overview of the New Testament. You ready? It's going to be quick. I promise it will be quick. The first four books of the Bible deal with what Jesus taught. They deal with the words that he said, the actions that he did, how he called his apostles and what he was teaching them, what he was training them, and what he was telling them to do. That's what the first four books, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, are dealing with. It is dealing with what Jesus taught. They are called the Gospels. The next book is the book of Acts. This book shows us the beginning of the church. It shows us the start of the church. The church did not start while Jesus was there. The church started after Jesus ascended. And the book of Acts shows us what the apostles did with what Jesus taught. You have to get an understanding of that, because if you don't, you'll start to get things mixed up. The Gospels teach us what Jesus taught. The book of Acts doesn't get into all of those things necessarily, but it does get into some things that are very important that show us how the apostles carried out what Jesus taught. And so if you would read and see that the apostles were doing things and saying, well, wait a minute, Jesus didn't say that, or Jesus didn't, hold on a second, the Bible does not contradict itself. So if there's a contradiction, it has to be in me. So what the apostles did was everything Jesus taught. And so if they baptized in the name of Jesus, the reason they did that was because Jesus taught them to baptize in his name. Amen. Let's keep going. The next 20 some books deal with the issues of the church and of people. It deals with life issues after salvation. The Gospels is what Jesus taught. The book of Acts most definitely deals with salvation. And the rest deals with how we live after salvation. See, and we get this so mixed up, and we get this so messed up in our brains. Once we get the new birth experience, I've arrived. No, you must understand, there's 22 more books that come after the new birth message. Amen. So in other words, there's a whole lot more after I'm saved. I've got a whole life to live after I've been born again of water and spirit. See, in those 22 or 20 some other books, they mention salvation. They talk about salvation, but they do not give the details as to what is needed. Because that was already taught. That was already taught. And they were dealing with other things. So if you're trying to base your plan of salvation out of those other books, you're starting at the wrong place. Because that was not their purpose. Oh, they mention it and they talk about it, and you will see, because I'm going to prove it to you, how it still fits right in line with everything else. But you must understand that it was not their purpose. The salvation plan was done in the book of Acts, but I want to show you how they still don't contradict each other. They just go together perfectly when rightly dividing the word of truth. What? Paul, I'm going to go back to Paul a second just for 1 minute. 2 Timothy 2 verse 15. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. He says study. Study, because you need to show yourself approved. In other words, show yourself worthy. You guys wouldn't like it very much if I came up here and never studied through the week, and I never put any time in reading the Bible. I never put any time in studying the Bible, and I just got up here and talked and rambled on about. You all wouldn't like it very much. I could go a lot of places. Watch what it says. It says, but shun. It means push aside. Don't deal with. Don't get involved with. Profane and vain babbling. That's worthless and empty talking. for they will increase unto more godliness. There's a lot of conversations I don't get into, even in the Bible. You know why? Because it's just vain babbling. There's a lot of things I say, you know what? That you're just trying to... I don't have to argue every little thing. I will answer every question if a person is sincere, if a person is hungry. But if they're just wanting to argue and they're just wanting to talk, I ain't got it. I'm not trying to be mean. Let me show you an example. Let me show you this. Watch what Paul says in Ephesians 1:13. In whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. Paul says that after you've heard the word, after you've heard the gospel of salvation, after you believed, you were sealed. Is that what he says? Now let me show you something. There's a teaching out there that says you receive the Holy Ghost at believing. That you just, it just automatically is there. You were sealed with the Spirit of the promise once you believe, once you accepted the Lord as your personal Savior, that it just automatically happens. But if you've listened to any of the other lessons that I've taught already, you understand that believing, when I believe, it does something. Something happens when I believe. Now, I want you to look closely at this. What does Paul say in Ephesians? After that you believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Now, once I got to lay another little foundation just to help you understand this. If you would look up the word spirit and you would look up the word ghost in the Bible, or in the, if you would translate it from the Greek or whatever, and you go back into the Greek and you study that out, the word spirit and the word ghost are the same word. Sometimes the translators use the word spirit, sometimes the translators use the word ghost. It's the exact same word. It comes from the exact same word that means breath or wind. In other words, the breath or wind of God, that which God breathes into us, that which was from the garden when he breathed into man the breath of life. When the new birth came place, he breathes into us again. But it's not a natural wind, which is a natural breath of life, but it is a spiritual wind, that is the spiritual breath of God that changes us from an old creature to a new creature. It completely changes us. Now watch what Paul says in Acts. We looked at this passage last week. We looked at it from baptism side. Let's look at it from the Holy Ghost side. Okay, what Ephesians say? He says, after you believed, you received, right? Watch. And he said unto them, have ye received the Holy Ghost since ye believed? Here he is going to men who have believed. And he asked them a very pointed question. Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? Remember Ephesians 1? After that, you have believed. You shall. Amen, amen. When you put those two together, it becomes very clear that it's not an immediate. It's when you believe, something begins to take place. Something begins to transpire. When I want the Holy. He says, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? They said, we haven't even so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. And then he said to them, how were you baptized? And they said unto him, unto John's baptism. He said, hold on a second. John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on him which should come after him, that is on Christ Jesus. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Watch this though. And when Paul had laid hands upon them, remember, they believed. It's already been established that they believed. Now we see that Paul does something. Paul lays his hands on them and something begins to transpire. The atmosphere is created and they then receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. When he laid hands on them, now, this is not teaching that in order to get the Holy Ghost that I have to lay my hand on you. Okay, I want to make that very clear. It's not teaching that I have to lay my hand on you because I am not God. Now, I do believe on the laying on of hands. And I do believe that there is a transmission of faith, and when your faith connects with my faith and both our faith start reach up to God, that all of a sudden something begins to happen, and God says where two or three are gathered touching anything, it shall be done. And if you want the Holy Ghost, I want you to have the Holy Ghost, and you believe and I believe, and we lift our hands and we begin to worship and praise the Almighty God, then God says, I'm going to inhabit the praises of my people, and I'm going to show up and fill them. It is telling us, it is showing us that something happens when I believe. I open the door to receive something. We'll prove this. Your believing opens the door. That's why I have seen so many people, they've struggled with getting the Holy Ghost. And here's the deal. 90% of the time, they're defeated before they ever get to the altar. Because their thought is, I hope I get it. I remember, where's Brother Tice? He's back there. I'll go back to this. I remember because he would come up on Sunday morning. He would pray. He didn't understand why. And one day I looked at him. I said, here's what I want you to do. I want you to go home and I want you to come back. And I want you, when you come back, you just expect that when you come to this altar and you lift your hands, you just expect that you're going to receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. And I'm talking, he had prayed for it for years, and he begged, and he had pleaded, and he had done everything he thought possible. But let me tell you what happened that day. He showed up here with the mindset that said, I'm going to receive it. And he lifted up his hands, and within just a couple minutes, he was speaking in other tongues as the Spirit gave him utterance. Why? Something happens. A door is opened when I believe. Didn't happen long after that. Well, I guess it was a little while after that as a little boy. Identical situation. I said to him, RJ, I want you to come back here and I want you to expect to receive the gift of the Holy Ghost.
Amen, amen.
And he came back. Expecting. We're going to prove all that here in a minute. Hopefully. Wow, I don't have much time left. This is not good. I want you to show that opens the door. Watch. And it was in Acts chapter 8 that Philip had been preaching in Samaria and a great revival had broken out. Now the cool thing about this story, and one thing I like about it, is that there was a man there that was controlling the city. He kind of had the city under his thumb. He was using sorcery. He was using trickery. He was using things that, and everyone looked at him and said, wow, that is some great man of God. But let me tell you this. When the real thing comes around, when the real thing shows up, when the power of the Almighty God comes into the situation, that which is false and that which is lesser has to step aside. That which is not true and that which is below has to step aside. Satan has to leave. In Acts 8 verse 9, but there was a certain man called Simon, which before in the same city used sorcery and bewitched the people of Samaria, giving out that himself was some great one. Watch. To whom they all gave heed, from the least to the greatest, saying, this man is the great power of God. And when they had regard, because of that long time he had bewitched them with sorceries. But when they believed Philip, notice something here. They believed the words of Philip. Philip walked into them. He walked into that city with a real power. He walked into that situation with the real thing. And he began to teach. And he began to talk to them. He began to preach the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus. And they were baptized, both men and women. Watch. Then Simon himself believed also. He says, whoa, I did what I did by trickery and by a lesser force. He himself understood what power was standing before him. See, we don't understand when you're born again of the water and spirit, just what power you're carrying with you. Just what power. The spirit world understands. They believe there is one God and they tremble. And when he was baptized, he continued with Philip and wondered, beholding the miracles and the signs which were done. Because he said, wait a minute, I can't do this. This is the real deal. Now, when the apostles which were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent unto them Peter and John, who when they were come down prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Ghost. Watch. For as yet he was fallen upon none of them. Only they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. I want you to catch that. He says, the Holy Ghost hadn't fallen on them yet. Wait a minute, they were believed and they baptized. And the Holy Ghost had not fallen on them yet. Then laid their hands upon them and they received the Holy Ghost. And when Simon saw that through the laying on of the apostles' hands, the Holy Ghost was given. Yeah, let me give you a little something. Can you guys give me that which you have? He offered them money. He said, I'll pay you for that power. The first thing I want you to see is they only were baptized. They had not received the Holy Ghost. And the apostles came down. Why? So that they would be filled with the Holy Ghost. They came down to pray with them. They came there so that they could pray with them to receive the Holy Ghost. Why would they travel from Jerusalem to Samaria if they did not think it was necessary? They could have just said, well, they believe, they're baptized. That's good enough. But these apostles said, oh, no, wait a minute. I've got to get there. Oh, they've got part of it, and they're on their way. But I've got to make sure that they have the whole deal. And so he said, let's travel from Jerusalem to Samaria so that we can pray for them. What did this Simon see? What was the sign that said they had received the Holy Ghost? It becomes very obvious that he saw something. He knew something was taking place. What did he see? He saw what Jesus taught. He saw what Jesus taught. When in Acts 1 and 3, when Jesus had rose from the dead and he was dealing with his disciples, they're thinking, well, you know, he's come, he's now rose again. This is the time he establishes his kingdom. You know, they thought before he was going to establish his kingdom. It didn't happen, right? And now he said, now they're thinking, okay, he's rose again. Now he's going to establish it. Now he's going to show them that he's the king. It says, to whom he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me, for John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost. Praise God. Not many days hence. And watch their attitude. And when they were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? Are you going to restore now this kingdom? Are you going to reestablish your kingdom? And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father has put in his own power. I want you to understand this point. I don't know when you'll receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. It's not for me to know. It's not for you to know. It's when he puts it in his time. When he says it's his time. Let me tell you what happens. When your faith connects upward, spirit. It's a pretty simple thing, but there's an atmosphere that is created. See, if you walk into a situation and you walk in, you come up and there's doubt all around you. The atmosphere isn't created because it takes faith. If you come in, and I've seen this happen, people struggle. And a lot of times the reason they struggle is because there's some things in their life that they won't get rid of. There's some things in their life that they don't want to surrender. And in order to receive him, you've got to give complete surrender. You've got to surrender everything over to him. But in all of that, it's up to him. I could go into a whole lot of, and maybe one day I'll teach on this aspect of how people struggle getting the Holy Ghost and what takes place and how to create an atmosphere. And then he says, but ye shall receive power. We all know this passage. After that, the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and Judea and all Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. He says, you shall receive power. And then in Acts 2, it says, when the day of Pentecost was fully come, I'm going to buzz through this because you know this already. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. It filled all the house where they were sitting, and there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and sat upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now catch this. Jesus taught them, you're going to receive power after that the Holy Ghost come upon you. He did not tell them at this point how that was going to happen, but he, once it happened, it became the sign or the symbol of how a person receives the gift of the Holy Ghost. How do I know? How do I know that a person has received the gift of the Holy Ghost? It tells us right here. They were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. If the Holy Spirit comes in, he begins to speak through you, and he begins to speak in a language that is not yours. That became the sign. That became the symbol as to how to know a person receives the gift of the Holy Ghost. Now watch, I'll show this. Now I want you to see that nothing changes after the day of Pentecost. Because there are those who would like to say that what took place on that day was just a special day. That was just a special time. That's not for today. That's what they want to say. But if you remember last week, I talked about Cornelius. Remember I talked about Cornelius? I think it was last week, a couple weeks ago, who was the first Gentile to receive the infilling of the Holy Ghost. And I showed you that after he received the Holy Ghost, Peter said, wait a minute, we also need to baptize you. It was in this story that we see the teaching of the special day is not valid. Because watch what Peter says. Now, I need to make this quick point. Just a quick point. Sometimes people receive the gift of the Holy Ghost before they're baptized. Sometimes they're baptized after they receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. But they always have both. Okay, I just want you to understand that. They're always both in conjunction. And Acts chapter 11, 15 says, and I, as I be, he is now, now you understand this, he is now, Peter is now standing before the council. Because they're, actually the other apostles and the religious leaders of this new church are saying, wait a minute, this is for us. This is our deal. What's this deal? You went to and you prayed for a Gentile and he received the, what's all this all about? And they're questioning him and they're talking to him and they're like, wait a minute, I don't know if we're doing the right thing here. But I want you to notice how Peter makes this response. He says, and as I began to speak, the Holy Ghost fell on them as on us at the beginning. Now, I just read to you the beginning, didn't I? All right, he says, it fell on us as on the beginning. Then remembered I the word of the Lord, how that he said, John indeed baptized with water. Didn't I just read this too? But ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost. He says, wait a minute. I saw it fall on them as it fell on us, exactly how Jesus said, and I remembered what he said, because he said, you're going to receive the Holy Ghost. Watch. For as much then as God gave them the like gift, as he did unto us, what's that word say? Who what? He gave on them the same gift he gave to us when they believed. Who believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. That was I, and then I, watch. I'm sorry, he says, what was I that I could withstand God? To say a person does not need the infilling of the Holy Ghost or gets it some other way, Peter is literally saying you are withstanding God. That's the last thing, that's the last place I ever want to be, is a place where I stand contrary to God, where I say, no, God, I really don't need what you've got. No, I really don't need all of that. No, I really don't want. I am never in my life. I never want to withstand God. Wait a minute. What was the light gift? How did they know it was the same thing? Peter said, the Holy Ghost fell on them as on us at the beginning. Now watch. How did they know this for certain? Acts 10:44. While Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on them which heard the word. Watch. And they of the circumcision, that means those Jews who had already received the gift of the Holy Ghost, which believed, were astonished, as many as came with Peter. Watch. Because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the Holy Ghost. How did they know? How did they know for certain? Watch. For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Then answered Peter, can any man forbid water that these should not be baptized, which have received the Holy Ghost as well as we? Do you want to know what they saw? They saw them speaking with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance, exactly how it happened on the day of Pentecost. You know what God was saying? It doesn't matter if you're a Jew. It doesn't matter if you're a Greek. It doesn't matter if you're a Roman. It doesn't matter if you're a Gentile. It doesn't matter if you're... It doesn't matter what race you are. It doesn't matter who you are in your lot of life. Every single person can and needs to be baptized with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Every single person, I believe with 100% of my being, needs to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gives you utterance. Watch, I'm getting ready to close. Because I want you to see this verse. I'm going to wrap this whole thing up. Put the pretty bow on the top. I want you to see what Jesus taught. In Luke chapter 11, verse 5. And they said unto him, which of you shall have a friend? And shall go unto him at midnight and say unto him, friend, lend me 3 loaves. For a friend of mine is in his journey, is come, and I have nothing to set before him. And he from within shall answer and say, trouble me not, the door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give thee. Now this is a parable that Jesus is teaching. He says, I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity, he will rise and give him as many as he needs. In other words, here's a friend. If I would come to your house, now it's a little different today. We have bedrooms that are, you know, they lived in basically one room homes. And, you know, it was not like we have today. They didn't have all the fineries that we have. And so if they knocked, the chances are he was going to wake his children and he was going to wake his family. And he's like, go away. You're going to wake my kids up. Go away. And Jesus is using this as an example. He says he needs something from him, right? He needs some bread. Is that not the case? He needs bread. His friend says, I can't give it to you. It's time. You need to just leave. You're going to wake my family up. And here he is. I need some bread. I need some bread. I need some bread. Go away. Leave me alone. I need some bread. Go away. Leave me alone. The Bible says he didn't give him that bread because he was his friend. You want to make an enemy with me really fast? Come to me late at night while I'm sleeping and wake me up and ask me for some bread. Look, Walmart's down the road. They're open 24 hours. I'm kidding. If you really were in need, I would be there to help you. But you understand what I'm saying. Now watch, everybody's going to call me at midnight, 2 a.m. Hey, pastor. I'll be driving around house to house giving everybody bread. And you'll really see me dragging in here on Sunday. Dear Lord, I can wreck it quick. Not because he's a friend, but he did it because of his importunity. He did it because he was persistent. He said, I'm going to keep coming, and I'm going to keep showing up, and I'm going to keep knocking, and I'm going to keep doing this until you give me what I came for. That is the premise. Now watch, it is under this premise that Jesus says, and I say unto you, ask and it shall be given you, seek and ye shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that openeth findeth, and he that knocketh it shall be opened. If a son would say, Dad, I need some bread, is there a father among us who would say, no, son, you don't get in there and give him a rock? Or if he asks and says, I want a fish, oh no, son, I'll just give you a snake. Or if he says, Dad, I really need an plague. He says, no, let me give you this scorpion. He says, none of you, being less than perfect, would do any such thing. None of you would be willing to do that. And then he says this, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? He says, look, you wouldn't do anything like that. You would never give somebody something that was less than. You wouldn't give your children anything like that. You would give them what's right. How much more would a father who is absolutely perfect, how much more would your God in heaven say, I'm going to give you that? Which you need. And you say, well, I've asked before and I haven't got it. And I've asked before and it hasn't happened. And I've asked for, you know what I say? Knock again. Knock again. You know what he's teaching? He is teaching you that if you don't get it the first time, and you don't get it the second time, and you don't get it the third time, and maybe it's been 10 years, maybe it's been 20 years, it doesn't matter. What that matters is that you say, I'm gonna keep knocking, I'm gonna keep seeking, I'm gonna keep trying. Because when you do, what you don't know is that moment when your Father in heaven says, now I will open it to you. He says, look, if you knock, it's open. What is believing? Let me tell you what believing is. It's when you open the door and God says, I will pour out my Spirit. I can't tell you when. I can tell you how I'll know. You see, the times is up to him. But the sign he's given us to see. Because he says, I don't want there to be any doubt. I don't want there to be any question. As to, did you get the same thing that I got? Because you know us. That's why people struggle so much with the gifts of the Spirit. You know, one's got healing, one's got, you know, workings of miracles, one's got the gift of prophecy, one's got, you know, all these different gifts, and we like to compare and we like to put them up next to each other. And hold on a second. This isn't a gift like those gifts. You're not going to compare whether you got the Holy Ghost better than somebody else. Can I tell you this? It doesn't matter if a person quakes. And I've seen them quake. It doesn't matter if a person falls out. I've seen them fall out. They could be as still. Let me tell you what they will do. They will be worshiping God. They will have their heart and mind set on Him. And they will be expecting to receive something. Those three things will be in order. But all of the wailing and all the things that we put into... Look, that does not have to happen, although sometimes it does, and many times it does, because we're emotional creatures. But let me tell you what will happen. Amen. You will speak with tongues. You will speak with another language. That way you can't say my Holy Ghost was better than their Holy Ghost, or my experience was better than their experience. Let me tell you the experience to know that God has filled your life and you're going to walk in His Spirit. It's when you speak with other tongues as the Spirit gives you utterance. That's what the Spirit does. That's what the Spirit does. I said, that's what the Spirit does. It's uniform. Because God's not going to mess around and have the wrong seal put on you. He's not going to have someone seal you with something that's not the right seal. The Holy Spirit of promise, which is the seal from God. Let's all stand. Let me tell you this, if you need the infilling of the Holy Ghost. If you want the infilling of the Holy Ghost, let me tell you, you have to do both. What I've tried to do is prove that you need it. Because you first have to recognize your need for it. And then you have to want it. And when you do that, after that you've believed, after that you've heard the gospel, which is what Jesus taught, and then you believed. It says after that comes the seal of the Holy Spirit, which is the promise of an almighty God. So today, if you need the infilling of the Holy Ghost, I'm here to tell you that that is for you. It is for you. I'm going to be preaching on here for a little while. I'm going to spend some time here, I think. Just might go from here to August 9th. Let me tell you, I want every single person. I want every single person to be filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. God, I know, Lord, that I've preached what you wanted me to preach. I've said what you wanted me to say. God, I pray, Lord, that I've done it in the right manner, in the right way. God, I pray, Lord, that I was not at all condescending or at all saying things in the wrong attitude. God, I hope and pray that I was doing it with a heart of love. Because God, I want to see every single person saved. God, I want to see everyone, Lord, born again of water and of spirit. God, I want to. Jesus, we need a touch from you. God, we need your power. We need your power. We need your power. We need your power. Your word tells us we'll receive if we'll knock. If we'll knock. If we'll seek. And if we'll ask. Come today, you can come. Let's all just come. Let's pray. Let's seek God. Sister Tice.